Welcome to another segment of Market Overdrive. I'm your host, Carla Mina, residential real estate broker with Coldwell Banker. How are you, Mr. Mehmeti?
Hit the button, Will. We live now? We are live from WGN Studios.
The producers
I am
have
great.
Always said...
We've had some technical difficulties, which is why... Which my mouth is having technical difficulties, which is why we've had some issues here today. But we're live and we're up and we're running and we are doing super well because we have the law legend himself in the building today.
Nobody ever calls
the
me a legend.
The man in charge. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to take that back. I don't like that being used on anybody else. No, I'm just kidding. The man in charge of the Dodka Law Group and, of course, the founder and creator of Main Street Realty Group, Mo Dodka. Good to see you. How you been?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. You're here.
I'm here.
Yeah.
Technical difficulties are gone.
I saw you brought a third wheel to our bromance.
I did. I'm about to announce it.
You didn't even ask.
I approved.
It's cool.
Carla approved.
Everybody approved.
Carla approved. The man of all men.
Everybody approved this guy.
Ryan Foley. He is the president owner of Spyglass Inspections, the best inspector I've ever worked with, as well as the owner of CBA Property Management, who runs and manages and does all the general GC work on the flips. He's the man of all men. He is Ryan Foley.
Thanks for having me.
Quite the intro.
The man of
Big
all
intro.
Men.
Thanks,
Ryan,
Mo.
You got to stand up tall tonight. Man of all men. So tell us about yourself. How long have you been doing this? What got you in the industry? The whole nine yards.
Great question. So I've been doing this for about 17 years now. I kind of grew up a little bit with entrepreneurs and working in some construction with some friends, an uncle, and my mom was an interior designer. So I actually started off flipping homes. And then in that process of flipping homes, I had a lot of people asking me if I would do inspections for them. So I looked into that a little bit further and started the inspection company. As well as the construction.
Now, you mentioned earlier off air something about flipping homes at a relatively young age. How old were you when you did your first property?
Mid-20s.
Ooh. I wasn't even out of college yet.
Well, it's good when you start young, right?
I'm old.
I'm older than you, trust me.
It's good when you start young and you also have family or someone that you can shadow so you can learn the business, the ins and outs of real estate. But for you who are listening, who want to become a flipping, who want to get into the flipping game, have never done this before and where to start today, we are focusing on flipping and also using the concept of new construction when doing so. We're going to have a roundtable discussion about the topic and we're going to go around the room and discuss our expertise. And of course, you are our main guest today. I know sure. that you work closely with Mo. We have four questions that we'd like to focus on. Would you like to go over those questions, Nick?
Pretty simple stuff. Number one, business plan on how to get financing or funds in order to do a flip. Number two, how to find the ideal property. Three, the entire flipping process. I mean, that's going to be a big chunk of the show, obviously. And last but not least, how to get rid of this property and sell it for a profit at its max profit, if you will. So that'll be number four. Those are the topics.
And then, of course, before we move into our topics and review and get answers from our guests, we are going to go through the nitro question.
Where's the noise? I don't even hear the nitro question. You know, I'm supposed to be alerted that there's
a nitro
question.
You're supposed to hear the vroom vroom that gets me all excited every time we hear it. I mean, I'm going
to
give you a vroom.
You're a car guy. You like
vroom vroom. Go ahead, give us the nitro question.
Can I get the engineer? Vroom vroom vroom. All right, we're just doing ourselves. Don't worry about it. The nitro question is going to be in the spirit of the show. And most importantly, the Nitro Question is sponsored. Today's sponsor for the Nitro Question is Denise Edenhofer. My girl, Denise Edenhofer, from Fidelity Warranty and Home Warranty. Fidelity Home Warranty, I'm sorry. Good company, great people over there. Amazing deals on their warranty programs. And I think you guys should get a hold of Denise at Fidelity Home Warranty. But the Nitro Question today is going to be revolving around flipping. Both of you guys, let's face it, everybody in this room has done one. At least one, and I probably am shorthanding that, but multiple flips. Who's going to take the question?
Ryan.
You are, or Ryan?
Either. Let's hear the question first.
No, you can't do that. You can't do that.
It's like it's the nitro question.
You don't have to answer it right away. You can think about it.
We come back to it.
I'm going to ask you a question. We're going to come back to about 15, 20 minutes now.
Ready?
But the nitro question is, of all the stuff you've ever flipped, I want you to give us the craziest story, or I should say at least a scenario where you've been, whether just in the beginning part of the process after you bought the house, during the middle of the process, but at what point where you thought, holy I can't believe I bought this house. We are in so much trouble, and I can't. And if I had investors, they're going to have to hear this. We all have to have one.
You, if you want did, that if you did, answered right now?
Absolutely not, man. All we right. want people to hear the holy story.
All right.
The Nitro Question by Fidelity Home Warranty. Denise Edenhopper, thank you, girl, for the sponsoring the Nitro Question. Let's move it forward. Ooh, that just what just happened to my ear there?
I increased
you
your
got
audio.
Real close to the
yeah,
mic.
Yeah, you did.
Sorry.
All right. Cool.
Okay, great question. I was wondering what you were going to ask, especially because it is Denise's hour. But yeah, let's get right to it. I mean, want to go ahead and start,
yeah.
Mo?
So I think when it comes to kind of like the plan of getting funding, I know Ryan and CBA does it a little bit differently. It's tailored so that almost anybody can become somebody who flips homes. Typically, when you're thinking about flipping a home, you got to put, you know, $200,000 to $250,000 in, or $100,000 if you buy a $65,000 property like mm-hmm. Nick sometimes does. You need new renovations. What Ryan has put together with his group is a group of friends and family get together, crowdfund the entire project, and then get a rate of return at the end. So if you have $25,000 to put in and that's all you can invest in real estate, you can still be a part of a flip. And what's beautiful is Ryan and the guys send you updates. And one of the things I love is the updates I get when I've invested with him. You get an update that says A, B, and C were just done. Here's the plans for the next, you know, 1 month or couple weeks in the property. And he just keeps everybody apprised of what's going on. So you can invest a little bit of money, a lot of money. And at the end, the return is typically between 15 to 18%. On the projects I've seen, I know you guys have done better than
from whatever you've put in.
Yeah,
you put in $100,000, you're making $15,000 to $18,000 back
yeah.
in return.
And right? and the cool thing is, it's relatively quick now. So most of the projects are done in 9 months, and so you're getting almost an annual return of about 20% return on your money, which is incredible. So I've loved it. I flipped with other people before where they've promised me crazy returns and then they're very slow in getting things done.
Things happen.
GCs didn't
show up. Part
of
the Nitro Question.
Yeah.
There you go.
I've had some of those nightmares. What's been very cool about, and I've done a lot of work with them, and Lawrence, who we've had on the show, does a lot of work with them. What's been really cool is Ryan knows his and he gets the job done.
Yeah. Well, let me back that up real quick. And Ryan, I'm going to let you jump in because yep. this is obviously your turn. But you said something that I want people to understand when listening to the show. Crowdfunding.
Yeah.
Okay? And it seems like we're going to roll on that for a little while. It sounds so big. Crowdfunding right. sounds like
small.
Half a million people in Chicago are putting no. money into your project. That can mean anything from two people.
It could.
Yeah.
To 200 people. Or even more than that.
Listen.
I mean, just, you know, it means multiple people at the end of the day.
It really gives the opportunity for people that want to flip that don't have the money to do it to be involved. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to jump in on a flip at 25 grand is great. The people love it, right? And a lot of people want to be involved with the flip, but they really don't know where to begin or what to do. So kind of like Mo said, with that weekly update, they feel like they're a part of the process the whole way.
Right.
And for because you are tenure, you're in the business, you feel more comfortable, and people are going to say, fine, I'll let you borrow some money. I'll definitely put money in the pot for this particular project because you have results and you have a business plan and I can see tangible, right? But what about if I'm a listener and this is my first time even, you know, wrapping my brain around this concept? What would you advise? What's the first steps into initiating a you know, a project like this where I'm going to ask someone to let me borrow money so that I can go ahead and buy a property, rehab it, and then give them a return?
Well, if you're going to start off, you mean doing that and mm-hmm. ask for people to invest on your first one, that would be very risky. For the fact that if you're getting in your first project, you are going to make a lot of mistakes. It's a very big education and an eye-opener. So if you're going to go that route on your first one, I would try to partner up with somebody that's already done a couple that can help you along the way and kind of knock out some of those mistakes that could happen.
That's great advice, especially for people who are saying, you know, maybe it's just generation, maybe it's cultural. I know a lot of people, like my mom always says, don't ever get a partner for anything. Just do your own thing. Don't get investors. And I'm like, that's not the way to do it these days. You leverage more of your risk if you get investors to do the, you know, to get the financing of it. And of course, we have proven results. So I love that you say that, you know, invest with somebody who has proven record, because even as realtors, we know that it's so intricate. I mean, the transaction is not business as usual. There's so many moving parts. What do you think about about that, Mo?
I think, and I tell people come to me all the time saying, I want to be a real estate investor. And when they watch HGTV and they think they can flip properties because HGTV said it's easy to do, I'm always like, guys, there's a lot of things that pop up. It's not as easy as you think. So
it looks great on TV.
Yeah, it looks easy. It looks simple on TV. Right. For me, even, I mean, I'm in the industry. I kind of know what I'm doing. I don't do it myself. I've invested with people who know what they're doing. So I would tell you, if you're a listener and you want to go out and start flipping properties, I'll go one step further and say, don't do it unless you are very, very certain your team that you're going to put together knows what they're doing. From the realtor to, you know, an attorney if you're doing zoning changes, to the biggest, most important piece is obviously your contracting team, because that, I've had investments where the contracting team sucks.
Well, that's where it really can go upside down fast. If you don't have good contractors, I mean, your whole project could be gone before you know it. So the contractors are a huge part of the puzzle here.
We'll slow that part of the conversation down because we're going to get to that in a little bit. But let's, you know, we're going to sit on financing for a couple more tidbits and then we'll go from there. Mm-hmm. Crowdfunding sounds like that have a little bit of experience.
Yeah.
Crowdfunding has become a very popular tool. If you have a lot of money, then cash is great.
Yeah, cash is king when you're trying to win.
And you're saving a lot of money on interest and returns in the whole nine yards, paying out returns the whole nine yards. But, you know, there's other ways to do these things. It's not like you have to crowdfund in order to get a flip. I just don't want people listening to
hear
a message that, oh, I need to do crowdfunding in order to do a flip. It doesn't work like that.
We've actually really grown the company by obviously using crowdfunding, but also a little bit of hard money lending as well.
Which I love. And I only like it because if you're an independent, a small person doing your first, maybe not your first flip, you shouldn't get involved with a hard money lender, but if you're doing one or two a year and you have a good relationship with a place, you can keep most of your profits. Although a hard money lender is pretty much your partner. Because they are not cheap. Let's just get that out of the way. You can expect to see rates that don't sound like your typical mortgage rates. You're talking about paying 1 to 1.5% a month typically in interest.
Yeah, and I don't recommend that on your first couple.
Right, and you're talking about paying in some cases 4 or 5 points. Correct. Up front, and then extension fees that can get out of control if you don't do it within the first 6 months, the whole nine yards. But maybe the profits are so good that it's worth it if you're on your own to take out a hard money loan. So that is one option.
And I agree. I think, you know, you hit it, Nick. If you are doing it on your own and you've got experience and you don't want to, and crowdfunding, I don't mean like everybody put in $10. It's people putting in
some money.
$25, $30,
it's not worth your time.
Minimum.
Yeah.
But the hard money really works. The important piece of the hard money is you got to be timely, because as those things get longer,
your money's going on interest.
It's going on interest, and they have very big penalties if you go past certain points, depending on what loan you get, who you're working with. But if you're buttoned up and you leverage somebody else's money so you can flip quickly, or maybe you have the money but you want to do multiple projects, hard money lending is great for that. But the time frame in which you do the flip has to be really buttoned up.
Well, Ryan, in the business that you are in and with the length of time that you've been in the business, would you consider doing some hard money, obtaining a hard money loan?
We currently do.
You currently
do?
We do
okay. Both.
So you diversify the projects.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And the only reason I ask that question is because obviously your tenure, you've done this before, and I would honestly only recommend somebody who's in the business, who's a contractor, who's also, or a realtor that knows exactly what they're getting into, because like Nick says, the fees can get really high. Mm-hmm. I mean, if the project is not delivered at the right time, and as we all know, we're expecting something back in May, it doesn't hit the market until July,
correct,
then your carrying costs are really crazy high. So you're a first-time investor who wants to flip properties, and you don't trust anybody, you just want to do it on your own, and you know you could do it because you've been watching HGTV, right?
No.
Keep it or flip it. and you want to try this. I mean, I second your message about, you know, hiring or partnering up with somebody else to do it. But I love the fact that you said that you do both.
Correct. Yeah, we do both. Like I said, if you could go the cash route for your first one or two to give you that breathing room, that would be your best way to go.
Or jump in with guys like Ryan who, you know, feel it out and learn the process. So you invest once or twice with a group of people, you get the process down, and then from there, once you understand the process, maybe go out and do it yourself, because there is that learning curve of figuring out, you know, you're acquiring a property, what happens next with the permitting, what happens after that, you know, is, do I have to find the right team of people to sell it in the end? Carla, you know this, you've sold a bunch of flips yourself, marketing that, and we're going to touch on that, but marketing that property at the end is going to be so important for time frame purposes. So get involved with a group of people, lessen your risk, you know, with people like Ryan. If you learn it and you want to do it on your own, fantastic, but definitely don't do hard money lending on your first attempt.
And also, like you said, is we do send out that weekly update, so if you wanted to just hop in with us so you can kind of learn the process, mm-hmm. that would always be a way to go as well.
That's ideal. I love that. And you're listening and watching Market Overdrive. I want to thank all our friends on Facebook who are hanging out with us this evening, as well as you people who hang out with us on YouTube. I think we're not on YouTube today, but we'll definitely get up there. Thank you for sharing our message. Ryan, great information. I love that you're inviting our audience to hang out with you and follow you through this process. Where can we get a hold of you?
You can get a hold of me. Website is cbapropertymgmt.com, or phone number 847-401-7585. Call or text.
I feel jealous now. We're supposed to tell people.
And
where they
and
get
we always
books.
Get yeah. We always ask that at the end. But I love the fact that, you know, Mo, you invited him to go ahead and share that experience with our audience. And I think it's important because I know for a fact in 2018 a lot of people are trying to create wealth. We had Lawrence on the show who talked about, why don't you live a life of a life in air? So why not quit your 9-to-5 and do something that you're really passionate about? Seeing these properties transform from like ugly to amazing, and then seeing your product is completely different from the product I'm producing, but you're creating wealth for people. Not just from the initial, you know, purchase, but then from the resale as well. So we'll get to there. So sure. We talked about money, how to finance this project, how to finance your dream. Now we're going to talk about finding that right product.
You know, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Just before we go on, that we left one part of financing these things out, and it's traditional.
Yeah, you can.
We didn't even talk about it, and I don't want people to think that you have to do, again, no. Crowdfunding is a popular source now. Hard money is another popular source. And at the very cheapest, the money outside of cash is traditional. So if you have a project,
Sawi, you can do that.
Last, of course. So you can buy an investment. It's got to be an investment. You can't.
Because he says no to me on everything, so I can't ask him for any money.
You can buy it as an investment property, traditionally, with any traditional lender. Get yourself a 4-point-something interest rate, or a 5, depending on the lender's rates. Typically, you're holding this for at least 6 months anyways. By the time you start your project, do your rehab, and sell it, 6 months can easily pass by. So a lot of lenders will be good with that, as long as it can pass traditional Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac guidelines from an appraisal standpoint. You can do it.
That's typically 25% down, right?
25% down, but the interest rates are great. They're not 10, 11, 12% like hard money. Or you're not having to deal with the responsibility. There's a lot of responsibilities in crowdfunding, and I don't think we really hit the business plan as much as we probably should. But there is responsibilities if you're a leader of a crowdfunding package.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
big time. So, but those are all good ways. So we can move on. But that is one other way you could do it.
Well, I love it. I mean, the fact that we have all these options is good, because we want to encourage you to go ahead and do this for yourself if you're interested. And of course, align yourself with experts like Ryan and Mo, who can help you and guide you through that process. And I know when you're starting, you know, you don't have that resume that you have. I mean, you have done this before. For someone who's starting again, let me go back to this question. Somebody emailed me. What about the business plan before reaching the investors? Like, how can you get these people to believe in you and your product?
You know, well, I started off kind of going back to what Nick did. When I first started off doing my first couple flips, it was traditional lending. So it built up my character that way and the product that I could produce. And then it obviously grew and expanded from there.
You said built up your character. What does that mean?
Well, you build up your reputation of what type of product you put out there. And your end.
I thought
result.
Maybe you fell, you scrape your knees, and you hated it. You're like, "What am I doing? The bank wants their money."
Your business character.
Business character. Got it. Okay, so let's get to it. How do we find? Everybody wants to know. There is no inventory,
This is the hardest part.
It's right now. It is.
It's always been the hardest part.
2010, 2011, short sales everywhere. I was looking at properties. We're selling them for $125,000. Portage Park, Avondale. You can't touch that stuff now.
It's like three. Scoop that up if we could find that there right now.
I'm begging you. Nothing. It is dried up.
It has. A lot of it is driving the neighborhoods that you want to be in, sending out mailers, knocking on doors. We built up a fairly good reputation in some of our neighborhoods that we've been approached to ask if we want to buy properties. Obviously, this guy sitting to my left with Main Street has great reputation with people that they know in the neighborhoods that they get leads on. So, yeah, it's not going on the MLS and finding these properties.
Yeah, it's getting tougher to find good stuff. The nice thing about what Ryan's doing, so looking for properties for Ryan, I know Lawrence and myself, when we've looked at properties and tried to find them for the group, it's a lot of finding properties that need a lot of work. So some people are frightened by the sheer amount of work. Yeah. I toured a property with these guys, and we're on the third floor of the attic, and I was certain if I took another step, I'm going flying down into the basement. I was scared half to death.
Wow.
But Ryan looked at it from a standpoint, and he comes in all the showings for these, and he's able to say, hey, listen, this looks like crap, but I'm going to change everything up. I'm going to make this property work for the investor and the end buyer. So a lot of times we're also looking for properties that are in really bad shape that an amateur or even an average person who flips with experience is not going to touch. So
we want ugly.
Yeah, we want ugly.
Mold infested, foundation cracking. That's what we...
I had a friend in college. I had a friend in college that would walk around into a bar and say, we want ugly. And I never understood.
I have a couple friends like that, too.
They're still there?
Yeah. About five, six drinks later, they'll go, we want ugly.
They look great now.
Let's focus. I did see a property yesterday that, and I was just telling you earlier, that had a huge crack. And it was scary because I'm like, now I know where the mold is coming from. But you like this stuff. This exciting.
Well, I like it because we have been in this for a while. We have good teams and good people in our crew. So those properties will scare a lot of people. They don't want to, and I don't recommend starting with this, right? So, so a lot of people will walk away from bidding on stuff like that, but that's the stuff that we want.
You want it. The uglier, the better.
The other thing that's really good about Ryan is he's a home inspector. So at the end of the day, he knows what has to be done to pass inspection and code. So if there are cracks and things like that, having a team member or a contractor or somebody there who can say, hey, listen, this is a big problem now, but my fix is going to be the correct fix that'll pass inspection. It's going to pass code. We're not going to have issues with it. I've seen on the legal side of things, so many end buyers of properties that were flipped. I think you went through one for us to do an evaluation where you opened up a wall and there was like another room and the foundation was falling apart because some GC walled the place off and hid the defects.
Nice,
so it was, we got them to fix it. Our demand letter was a little aggressive and they fixed it. We flexed our guns a bit. But the fact that he can take a look at a property and say, I got to do A, B, C, and D, and then it will pass an inspection. It'll pass code. It's going to pass city permits. And yeah, I mean, the way these guys do it, they have to go get city permits. So that's another layer of security because a city inspector is going to come in and make sure that everything's buttoned up.
All right, let's back this up, though.
Back it up.
Back to finding properties. We're starting to go back into the process and things. Well, and I want to emphasize mining. What type of... I mean, at the end of the day, you're mining properties to keep this going.
Hit everything. So I'm of the mindset, you know, what Ryan said. You got to drive the neighborhoods. You can canvas. Carla, I know you've done that in the past to find some properties. If you're building something in the neighborhood that's like a four-unit, if there's another four-unit that looks like it needs work, you can pull the owner's information, reach out and say, hey, guys, I know your property needs some work. We are cash buyers. We just bought this property three houses down for $170,000. We'll give you that same offer. We'll close in 3 weeks. No inspection required. Are you willing to sell? And a lot of times people will have these properties they're sitting on that they think needs a mountain worth of work. So when somebody comes to them and says, I'm willing to give you cash right now, a lot of them say, okay, I'll talk to you.
And I know you want to focus on that, like how to find that property and how to scout the property.
I think everybody wants to know how to find these
things. Well, but I think finding the property is not necessarily like how do you scout and comb through a neighborhood to get the property. It's more so of like how do you identify the right investment opportunity.
I think you need leads first. And then you have to go see them, and then you make that next move of identifying if this is the right one or not.
It also depends on what kind of properties you're looking for.
Right.
So I know that Ryan and his group of guys want 2 to 4 unit buildings. If you can duplex up and it looks like there's attic space, fantastic. So if you can identify the type of property you want, then not only can you search online for it, but you can drive neighborhoods and look at things that may work. And then obviously when you're driving neighborhoods, don't try to walk through someone's front door, but you can tell if a building's run down or in great shape. Write down the address. You can find the unit owner's information online. There's millions of ways to do it and reach out.
You're still making me do too much work. Is there a database I can go to and find stuff that's list pendants?
You are just wanting easy money. Well, there is no such thing.
You're buying list stuff. List pendants. Those are just starting foreclosure. Those might be going down anyways.
So Liz Pendens nowadays, Nick brought up a thing.
Foreclosure.com, like stuff like that.
So you can pull records. So you can go on so many different sites to find Liz Pendens. So Liz Pendens means a lawsuit for foreclosure. Any lawsuit has been filed against title. Liz Pendens, though, in Cook County, I have a foreclosure case that's still pending from 2009. It could go forever. I like knowing that a foreclosure case is matured, because at that point, and by matured, I mean it's been going on for a little while, because then it's typically getting to the end of the process and you can save it. So don't just go online and try to find every pre-foreclosure place, because somebody could be in a situation where they just want to stay put and say, Mo, you know, just defend us out for 2-3 years.
But again, I'm seeing this as a lead source. So yeah. You're saying, I know why you said I'd like to see that they're further along, because the house is more attainable at this point. It's within window of you're probably going to own this thing within the next few months.
You can go
to this pendants tells me maybe I should go to the seller, canvassing, knocking on doors and say, are you interested in getting out?
Yeah. And that's going to rely on whether they're really underwater or not. So if the home's worth $175, but the lawsuit for foreclosure is $280, you're still not going to pay $280 for it.
Right.
A lot of times you can go on. So if you go on the judicial sale, if you Google Cook County foreclosure sheriff sale, you'll get the judicial sale site. And typically those sales that are being scheduled in the very near future are getting very close to the end of the foreclosure process. Now, again, you're going to have to do a lot of weeding through, and the likelihood of success is low, because most people are so underwater on their home that even if, you know, Ryan wanted to go and buy it from them, if it's worth $175 and but they need $230 to clear the loan, they can just show up at the sheriff's sale and maybe buy it. But
I love that concept, though, of going through, you know, finding REOs or foreclosure or short sales or something that you can negotiate, right? Because if it's pending litigation, it's a pre-foreclosure and it's going to go into foreclosure. But nowadays, I'm finding that banks are going to yield higher if they put it in the MLS versus sell it to an investor. So it could be risky. I say go ahead and diversify that process. Like you said, knock on doors, right? Talk to the rundown homeowner maybe they have financial hardship, or maybe they're an estate sale. Maybe they're, you know, getting retired and the kids want to, you know, moving on to a 55 plus community. So you never know where these opportunities are going to come from. So we're going to leave that up to you to be resourceful and kind of figure out where to find that product. I'm more interested in how you as an investor identify the right opportunity. Like, what are the things that you're looking at? What is that? Where, when, where, you know, why? Like, why would you want to buy it?
Yeah. Tell us, man. Well, tell us.
Like Mo said, we do 2 and 4 flats, but it's also getting creative, right? It's how to deal with small spaces and create larger ones. It's some of the flats that we buy, we pop the top and we'll build up. So we'll create a duplex up. We'll dig out a basement and do a duplex down. So, you know, there's so many different angles that you can approach this and get after it. It's about being creative. As far as we identify them, I really like sticking with brick structures, brick and mortar. We have a few that we've done stick structures. The buildings that we do, we gut them, right? So we've come into a lot of problems with the stick structures of just complete rot of an outside wall, right? So we're rebuilding a whole outside wall. And that's not something.
And Mo tells me you rebuild everything. Sometimes it's just studs. Sometimes all you do is keep the four walls.
Correct. That is correct.
That's why he doesn't like replacing brick. You don't have to replace brick typically. So,
but see, that's where you have to be a savvy investor, because if I'm a novice investor, that's a lot of money associated with it, right? So you have to be realistic about the acquisition cost and then the rehab cost, because if you're doing all of that, you know, plumbing, electrical, brand new, everything, you're not just lipstick surgering those products, then you really have to know what you're doing and have some idea of that cost.
Well, what we'll do is we'll go and look at properties with Lawrence, and then right away I'll put a pro forma together. Okay, so that's going to be all of our costs, carrying costs, construction costs, real estate costs, attorney fees, all of that. And there's times that we sit down and this just doesn't make sense, and we got to move on to the next one. So you got to know your numbers.
Exactly. And that's something I think we can all agree on, is that you have to know your numbers, because you're not doing this for fun, right? You're doing it for a profit.
And two sets of numbers. One, your numbers in the flip, but two, what the rental numbers will look like till the end buyer. So you want to build a property that is marketable to sell quickly, because I know your group of guys, they have buyers ready to go the moment the property's done, it sells. So it doesn't go to market. So I think you guys sell it like an 8 cap, which is
correct.
An 8 cap in today's world, completely gut renovated, is a rare find. So they market at an 8 cap, but with that marketing, the investors are still getting at least 15% returns. So being able to identify what it's going to sell for in the end when you're first starting off is really important. And duplexing down, duplexing up, then you got to figure out, well, what are those units going to rent for if I add 2 bedrooms, if I add 1 bedroom in an attic? So yeah, 2 sets of calculations.
And it goes back to, yeah, going back to how to identify that product. It sounds like you're focusing your business plan on multi-unit.
Correct.
And you understand that buyers nowadays who are buying multi-units are some buying to owner-occupied, right, and subsidize the mortgage with rental income, or some of them just want to keep it as an investment. And like you said, right, they're buying doors and you're looking at, you know, in some areas, a healthy cap rate is going to be 6% on average, right? Anything above that, how long is it going to, you know, take for you to recoup your investment per se, right? You're looking at 8% cap rate, and these guys are already renting the properties for you. So when you're rehabbing, or when you're identifying your next flip or finding that opportunity, you're also looking at a neighborhood that's going to want to keep that investment. You're looking at a product that's going to be able to resell, and then you're already giving the end user a great investment, correct?
Correct. Yeah, and that's kind of pinpointing back on having a good team. You got to lean on your realtor to say, hey, my end product is going to be X. How much could we get for this? So that good teamwork, you don't need a yes man for, oh, yeah, we can do it.
You're definitely far more advanced than somebody that's kind of getting their feet wet and flipping. I mean, going building up and building down, 2 up and 2 down is pretty intense. Now, we don't want people to think that only multi-units are worth flipping. There's a lot of money to be made in single families. And
correct.
We had a gentleman, a company on a while back, where all they did was bought ranch in a specific area, ranch properties. Wow. And they would build up. They would literally double the square footage of the house, and the house would go, instead of it being a $200,000 ranch, it'd be a $500,000 two-story. Didn't need too much money. I mean, it did need money, obviously, when you're adding a second level, but it was a whole other home. Mm-hmm. You know, it turned in from a 3-bedroom to a 6, you know, multi-bathroom. I mean, they were beautiful homes. So, I mean, again, there's a lot of other ways to skin the cat. A single family home, sometimes, like you just said the word lipstick surgery.
Yeah.
But I don't think people really know what that means.
well, I like that you said lipstick surgery for me is where you're
not
just
so
touching up. Yeah, you're doing a kitchen and bathrooms, and you're putting lipstick on it, right? You guys are doing a real gut rehab, plumbing, electrical, everything's changed. But you know, Nick, I love that you said that about the ranch homes, and the reason why I said how to find the right property, and we're kind of sticking on this topic for a long time, but only because it's very important to align yourself with the realtor that understands the market. And like I said, it's specific to that neighborhood. If you're flipping in a neighborhood that's conducive to, you know, young urbans who are going to be renting, and we all know the rental market is hot, and so you're going to find an investor who's going to want to own a rental property, or if you're looking at a neighborhood that's more single family, that it's more family oriented, it's by a good school, then I've seen people flip a 2-flat and convert it into a single family.
Correct.
So again, you said you align yourself with a group of realtors that understand what the end use, what is the best end use of that property, because it's going to yield the highest, correct? So those are formulas. You
Absolutely.
Have to stick to that.
Absolutely. And first starting out, do the lipstick, right? Find that house that just
Easy.
Needs some paint, some hardwood
carpet,
floors,
paint, yeah,
things like that
right.
nature, so you can kind of get your feet wet that way and slowly build that up.
The only issue, and yeah, that's the best way to start, is they're hard to find. It's hard to find a place where you do a little minimal amount of work.
Nowadays,
and then the end,
for sure.
Yeah, nowadays. And then the end result gives you enough of an appreciation that once you take into account your broker fees, your transfer taxes, your tax preparation credits, that you actually make any money. And I think, I mean, I would take, you know, the lipstick type job all day long. It's just becoming harder to find.
Right.
When the market was crappy, that was sweet.
Right.
You could just keep doing that over
and
over.
When the market
again.
Was crappy, we could find something for $125 and, you
right.
know, dump a $50 into it and, wow, sell it, you know. But then again, there wasn't a lot of properties being sold. And, you know, it's a great market nowadays because there isn't a ton of inventory. And the reason I love this show and the concept of Market Overdrive is because on a weekly basis, we invite guests who are on our show that are in the trenches. They're actually practicing what we're talking about. I'm not just interviewing these guys because whatever, we want to do a report on this subject today or this topic today, but it's because you guys, there's so much information here. We all talk about there's no inventory. There is a lot lot of families who are looking for properties in the summer market, you know, everybody's going to go crazy with bidding wars. Mm-hmm. So why not be that person that's producing the product that's going to be able to sell? I mean, your properties, these guys are selling the properties before they even hit the market. What we say in the MLS, sold before print. Correct. Because there's such great demand. And I know finding the property is a hard thing, but knowing the formula, it's such a great, you have proven results.
Correct, correct. And and once you get to that point, you build up that track record and that reputation. And, you know, we got people that are lining up through Lawrence and Main Street. And when's the next one going to happen? We're interested in buying. So we've been very fortunate.
Love it. And my producer's going to kill me because he's like, we need to break this into a two-show, conversation because there's so much to cover. And, of course, you could always email us at info@marketoverdrive.com. We are more than happy to, you know, share our experience with you, our skills. But let's move on to the flipping process, right? I mean, how do we start? We were in finding the property, the flipping process. Like, what's the first step into the rehab?
First step to the rehab is obviously landing the property, then getting all your architectural drawings done, and then first submit the permit.
Oh, you mean there's permits?
Oh, yeah.
You better get them in Chicago, because if you don't and they stop you, you are in a heck of a lot of trouble.
Screw that.
You should come to building court with me and Timmy see all the people sitting there with their heads down because they didn't.
And that's
right,
like,
thing.
Usually you tear down and start new. All that material, all that labor, gone.
Yeah, basically gut. It's a gut rehab.
No, but for people who don't get permits.
Oh, yeah. I mean, right? They stop work order and they'll hold that up if, gosh.
You do not want to be the dude who walks into building court. Or the girl. The guy or gal that has tried to sidestep the city and not pay the city their dues, because they will come get you.
There are two silent investors that we don't talk about, and that's the IRS and the city for permits. They need to be part of that formula. Don't forget those two. And a stager. I think staging is cool. Well, you guys don't need it, but I'm just saying, a stager.
His mom's coming out and doing it.
Yeah, there you go.
That's right.
There
you go.
He was born by an interior designer. You don't need a stager.
Born by a interior designer. He pays attention. Now you know what we're right? On this topic now. So you pull your permits, then you start the work?
Start the work, right? So basically, we have demo crews that come in that work for us on a consistent basis. And another big part, especially in the city, is getting that dumpster. And in that dumpster needs to be in a spot next to your property.
Company. See?
Because
all these ideas.
They're not dragging this down the street, right? So there's a lot. And then you're literally gutting it, right? And when we are gutting it along the way, we're finding a lot of surprises every single time, because you don't know what's going to be underneath that floor, behind that wall. And once we get to gut, then we're ready to start building.
Any treasures? Ever find any treasures?
No.
Did you find a car in the garage, like a truck?
Actually, I forgot about that. A guy left an old beat-down Ford F-150 truck.
Whatever happened to that thing?
We rolled it. Nobody wanted it. So we rolled it to the mechanic across the street, and he took it.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome. That's so cool. See, there's always things. I'm always looking for, treasures, but there's never any.
Barn finds are the best. So if you ever see online, you see them on Facebook. Sometimes somebody opens a barn, and there's like an old Ferrari, and there's something antique in there. We've never found any of those.
Well, I take that back. There might have been stuff, but my demo guys took it. So I never got to see it.
Oh, yeah. The furniture is always gone. They always take it, which is good, because there's so much cost associated. I mean, people who come in and pick up the junk and take it.
That's one big thing, too, is when and your first couple, you gotta budget properly for your dumpsters, because that gets very, very expensive very fast.
Yeah, I agree. Those are the things that you want to know when you're starting to flip, right? And that's the flipping process. I think that the most important part of it is just kind of knowing your end use and knowing what you're gonna do with this property. And of course, you lean on your realtor and your designer mom to tell you what are the colors, paint colors that are trending, what are the kitchen colors that are trending, just so that we can kind of wrap our brain around what kind of products you guys are producing out there. What are you doing as far as kitchens?
Well, it's kind of cool is with our home inspection company, we get to go into a lot of other people's homes and get a lot of really cool ideas off of other people. So it's really neat. So really what's in now is those whites and the grays, right? So owl gray is really popular with a nice dark stained floor, big white trim. You're kind of not seeing granite as much anymore.
No,
it's
quartz.
Kind of going to quartz. And really, a lot of stainless steel is going out, too, right now. So
stainless steel's out?
It's kind of going that way.
What are you seeing?
You're seeing a lot of black.
Black
back
stainless
in.
Steel. Yeah. I got black stainless steel.
Yeah. I did. When I renovated my house, I was thinking, I'm not going to do white kitchen, gray walls, dark floors. And I have white kitchen, dark floors, gray walls, and I got quartz.
I've been in a white kitchen in my house for so long that it was in style. It was completely out of style, and it's back in style. That's how long
Are
my white
serious?
Kitchen that I've lived with. Yeah,
that's
I don't
crazy.
Even care. Like, it's like it's the people were like, "Oh, that's nice." I'm like, "Yeah, it was nice 30 years ago."
You got nice white headphones cool. too.
You like that?
I know. I'm so jealous every time.
But if you go and you don't have to answer this, and I'm not trying to endorse this company, no. but Home Depot, right? If you work with the what do they call the customer service? But it's for the contractors.
Contractors.
The contractors. They'll help you tell you what is the trending product. Like the tiles, they'll let you know what people are using most on mm-hmm. The colors. So they're a good resource if you're just starting and need somebody to advise you on these things. Because I hate it when someone calls me to sell their flip and they're already at the listing process. They're like, yeah, just come and take photos. And it's like, why did you paint this wall red?
Yeah.
Like, why did you do mustard, orange, red, yellow? Right. What color is this?
Neutral, popular colors.
Neutral, canvas.
House.com is great, too.
House.
Yeah, House is awesome.
Oh, I love House.
Awesome. Yeah. I want to hit one, you know, and forgive me, I had to take a break here for a second, but do we get into hiring a crew? In the very good detail
he
about
is his
the crew.
Crew.
Well, but I understand he's his crew. Our listeners
crew.
Want to know how to hire the right crew.
You should see me with the hammer.
What's the advice of somebody going into their first rehab? Hiring a crew. I mean, I know that I've recently done some projects, and the summertime could be a real pain in the ass because trades are just not showing up, and they're not saying, you know, it's not like they're calling in sick.
Right.
They've got other jobs, and you know, everyone's kind of trying to hog a certain tile setter and
the
a certain framer. Yeah, everyone's got something else going on because it's so busy.
Right.
How do you not get burnt, be it that you're not, I mean, you're in the business, so you have your own people that are loyal to you because you're a source of revenue to them on a yearly basis. But if I'm a guy that's barely done two or three, you know, rehabs, few and far apart.
Ask around, talk to people, right, that have used the people before, right? That doesn't mean you're not going to get burned, but also once you start to find your crew, always be looking for others, right? So if you think you have your plumber and that's my guy,
mm-hmm.
keep on looking for other plumbers, right? Because there's going to be something that's going to happen, right, that he either gets greedy on you. So I'm doing this, so you know I'm seeing you do this. So you got to keep them honest as well. Get other bids if you think you have your guys. Still get other bids on your products so
ruthless.
You know they're staying
Everybody
honest.
Wants to know
ruthless.
Your math, right? They're going to be, so you're paying how much for this? And, you know, what do you think you're going to sell it for? It's like, don't do my numbers for me
right.
because only I know my numbers.
Exactly.
But I agree with you. You know, always keep, you're always hiring for the next product, right?
Correct.
Because maybe you have four projects going on and you may need somebody to, you know, plumber for this one while the other one works for the other one. But one thing that I think it's really cool is when people start sharing information. Like, people will tell me where they buy their cabinets, right? There's so many companies that will give you great deals for, you know, builders deals or vanities or mirrors or, you know, always talk to other people and kind of collaborate because
sure.
you're not producing, you're not competing for the, we all know it. Buyers are out there and your property is going to sell. You just have to do a good job.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And one attorney piece of advice, go to the county's website for lawsuits and put in the person's name or their company name. I do this all the time. If I'm going to work with a contractor or somebody on anything, I'll just Google the company. Google the case search and see if there's any lawsuits pending against them in the county.
What about when you go to the Home Depot parking lot and you pick up people that's not allowed?
Your personal life is not about is not, this show. Is
I
not
don't
about
do
about
that.
Nick
my
take
brother
that.
Does the like, work. Like, relax. I'm just, I know it, right?
You go to Home Depot. Dude, what is wrong with you?
I was going to let Nick handle that.
Wow.
I saw his eyes light up when he said the parking lot. I was like, let him go.
Hey, boys. Y'all want some work?
Oh,
Lord, oh,
people
Lord.
People do that. They go to the Home Depot parking lot.
My head.
Not all right.
My head. I can't take it no more.
I'm not supposed to laugh on this show anymore.
You set yourself up. You
bump
and set that
this
for his
This is something
spike.
The consumer
oh,
wants
boy.
To know. I am for the voice of the consumer. I'm sorry I didn't grow up and my mom wasn't designing, you know, kitchens and floor plans by the time I was 15.
Right.
And Mo, I'm sorry I didn't have the resources that you did. So
oh, spoken like a girl that hung out at Home Depot parking lot. All right, whatever. Let's move this thing along because
right,
we don't have a lot of time
finally,
here.
Finally, and really fast.
Well, I want to get to the nitro question.
No, we need to get to marketing first.
You're
marketing
arguing,
at this
one. You know,
I'm the Home Depot girl.
I'll make marketing real fast.
Go ahead, do it.
You got to build a product that the end buyer, the investor in this situation, if they're buying a 2-4 unit, or even if they're buying a home, that the end buyer is going to want. So one thing you guys do very well is if there's, you know, common area space, they get rid of it. So everybody gets their own entryway. They minimize the expenses to the end buyer so that the cap rate goes up. They get a better return. So if you can build a product that the end buyer really wants, you should be able to find a buyer before you end up having to hit the market and then do the traditional marketing routes. And shake the tree. If you have one or two investors that have bought properties from you before, birds of a feather flock together. Reach out to them and say, hey, do you know anybody else who's interested in an 8 cap or this sort of investment? Reach out to them. Typically, they know somebody else who wants it too.
Love it.
I'm going to jump in because I'm pretty good with marketing myself.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
Actually, I know I'm good. I think when you're buying a property, and this is where social media could be relatively inexpensive, because I've done this on a few different properties that I've flipped. I did it before they even hit the market. If you're buying a property, you guys are talking about investors on the, 2-4 units and cap rates and the whole nine yards. But if you're buying a property that is, whether it's for an investor or whether it's for, you know, let's just say you're buying something that is in a specific school zone, ideal for a family of 4 or 5 or whatever the case is, first time home, whatever. Know who you're marketing to. And then go ahead and place ads on things like social media to fit the demographic of the person looking for it. 100%. I mean, at that point, you can, at least you narrow it down to exactly who this is perfect for. You know, newlyweds, if it's a smaller home, you highlight the school district, you highlight the area, you put a geographical map, because most people don't buy homes, you know, outside of, like, let's say 20 miles or whatever. You would know that data better than I do. But, you know, keeping it tight.
Yeah.
And hitting a group of people that you know really have interest.
So with Facebook now, you can target market. Nick's right. So let's say it's a house. Let's get away from what we're doing, this 2-4 unit, and you're flipping a house in a school district or a zip code. You can target market that exact zip code.
Right.
And Facebook has become relatively inexpensive. We know it's about 50 to 70 cents a click for Facebook. If you do a real estate related Google pay-per-click, it's about $5 a click.
Right.
So use social media. Put up the post in the general area that you want to sell the property in and just hyper push that thing. And you're right. If you have a project that's upcoming and maybe you even have photos of a previous build, or you have some photos of the exterior and say, hey, this is going to be done. It's going to be this much money done June 1st.
Right.
And then get that buyer ahead of time. That's 100%.
And I don't want to be the nagging realtor, right? Because I am. But just understand the intricacies of the marketing that we do for your property. So when we're listing your property, whether you're an existing homeowner or you're flipping something, these are the things that we do for you, right? Yeah. We optimize the reach so you can get the highest yield. So I just don't want you thinking that I'm going to rehab the property myself. I'm going to go get a GC license. I'm going to go hire the contractors, the plumbers, the electricians, and then I'm going to market the property, figure out the colors myself. It's just too much to do for one person. Yeah. You know, if you're going to start doing this and doing it right, you should have your partners, people that you align yourself, because you want to grow this. You don't want to be just a one a year type of person. And if so, great for you. But once you get started, it's pretty addicting. It's kind of fun, right? When you find the property, and because there is not a lot of inventory and you're able to find the property, you have to squeeze as much out of it as possible. And you can't do that if you're going to be marketing it yourself, if you don't know how to strategically price it and market it.
And, you know, I'm going to jump into your lines of work, the two realtors here. But, you know, when I put this property, one of these properties I put on Facebook specifically, I knew the audience. I knew the radius that I wanted to stay within. I knew, you know, I made sure I got into the other school districts that would be interested in moving into the school district. The whole nine yards. I barely spent like $80. And my property was shared, I think, north of 60 times.
Wow.
Had like some 80,000-90,000 like hits on it. It was insane. And it was just a $260,000 property. It wasn't anything fancy. It wasn't something I was giving away for free. I was charging a fair market price for it.
But you were in an area over,
don't overlist it though. It didn't hit the MLS yet, so people were calling and hitting us up before it got to the MLS. Inevitably, we wanted to hit the MLS regardless, because we thought we priced it low enough, and that once it did hit the MLS, we'd start getting realtors putting in offers and maybe create a bidding war. Because I think too many people, you guys will agree to this, if you overprice and the house stays too long, you probably don't want to be in a situation where you're pricing down on your property.
And again, it goes back into strategic marketing, right? Underpricing is something that's a trend. And a lot of people get upset and offended because they're like, why are there so many buyers? So you you posted something on social media that generated a lot of hits because you underpriced it. And it's a shiny penny. A shiny penny doesn't exist in this market, especially in the summer market and in the neighborhood that you were in. Because you were in, what, July was that last year?
Correct.
And you were like, what, Berwyn or something?
I mean, it doesn't matter where you are.
Right. You, so you're targeting, right? And but what I'm saying to you is that don't try to do all this by yourself because we are strategic in the pricing. And you have to understand, like, what's the average price in that market to understand how to underprice it. Because what if you underprice it and it's not going to work out? Also, there's negotiating skills that go with that. A lot of people could say, well, I'm just going to underprice it and get multiple bids. But then what if you don't understand how to, like, read the contracts, understand the loans, right? So what we do is we get these properties pre-approved. So we know, you know, the lender that's going to finance it so that there's no hiccups. We can get this lender to confirm that these approvals are great. If it's a cash buyer, then great. We don't have to, you know, do all this. But there's so many things that can go wrong in a transaction. So this is just part of marketing and what a realtor does for you.
Let the chef do the cooking.
Right.
Don't start building, you know, a home if you don't know how to do that yourself. Don't try to list a home if you're not a realtor. 9 out of 10 people who list on their own fail. Only 1 out of 10 are successful. And that might be the random situation where you underprice a home. Let the chef do the cooking.
You're talking to someone who's, you know, he owns a mortgage company, so he knows how to market properties. His mom is a realtor, so he knows how to market a property. I just don't want
you. Touché, bro. Touché. You thought you only had a mind business, huh?
I mean, he's been breathing, you know, like real estate ever since he was a kid.
He's a 20-year floater from a couple shows ago.
22-year floater.
22-year floater.
So, great information. Thank you so much for coming on our show, Ryan.
Thanks
I really
for having
appreciate
me.
It.
Whoa.
Now, I know you have to do the I'm just thanking him because this is awesome. I love flipping. This
Ryan's
is like,
gonna have
gets
to
me
answer.
Really excited.
Denise Eden, you say her last name because I don't want to mess up her last name.
Are you serious? And she loves you too.
No, I love Denise.
What does she do? Just explain what she does.
She sells home warranties.
What are home warranties, Nick?
Denise Eden Hoffer works for Fidelity National Home Warranty. Is
yep.
that the full name of the company? Fidelity National. She, they pretty much are covering the house across the board, appliances, the whole nine yards, for a year at a time.
Yeah, and 12 to 13 months
12
usually.
12 to 13 months, yeah. And it's really inexpensive considering the stuff that you're covering. So
and
I
this
like,
could be something you could give, right? And obviously everything is warranted for you guys with the mechanicals and the furnaces and all that because it's brand new. But for an existing home, right, this could be a great gift for your potential buyer to
it's a great marketing tool too. Free home warranty on this brand new rehab, blah, blah, blah. And it goes a long way. But we got to get to the Denise Edenhofer's nitro question that you need to answer, man.
What was it again?
Exactly. I'm sure you had the answer right after I had the question. You could, because you could think of these things as they happen. But have you ever, and if and when you have had a project that you were in and you felt, oh boy, really botched this thing up. I'm afraid how I'm even going to break this news to, you know, hopefully you're on your own, so at least you only hurt yourself. But if you had investors, I mean, we want another story.
Yeah,
have you ever been in too deep? And
yes, yes.
How could you prevent that from happening? Tell us the whole story.
I was flipping homes, had not gotten into multi-unit yet, and I came across an opportunity of a 16-unit building.
Oh, this is getting good already. 16 units.
I heard the story.
Yeah. 16
so,
candles.
You know, I was like, cha-ching, this is going to be great. And all of a sudden, you started seeing the market crash.
Oh, man. I should have said without counting a market crash. Everybody's had that story. But we'll take it. Let's do it.
Let's take it. That was a big deal.
Yeah.
Right?
No, you're right.
And I was only halfway through it. So long story short, for this particular situation, I was not looking to become a landlord for 16 units on this particular property. So I ended up carrying that property for, gosh, my wife knows the exact numbers because I was miserable. But that was like for 9 years. Yeah. That was a
I'm hurting for
16
you.
16 is a lot of people.
It's a lot of...
A lot of families. That's a lot of stress.
Yes.
Property management.
Yes.
But then also, right, this is a good story because that means that regardless of what happens, what the outcome, be prepared to become a landlord. Be prepared to keep that property or at least get your money out.
Make some lemon out of lemonade out of lemons at least.
Well, you know, and it was a huge, huge learning experience for me, right? I learned so much off of that. So it really has... geared to what I do now.
It's also a good lesson that every market goes up and it comes down and eventually it will go back up again. So, you know, you rode out a bad market until the market came back around. If you buy the right investment property, hopefully you're not dealing with 16 crazy tenants in construction, but if you buy the right investment property and it's a long-term thing, so what if the market goes down later? Just if you get the rents and you have it rented out, wait out the bad market and then sell in a high market.
Section 8.
Real estate recessions are very few and far apart.
Yeah.
They're not common.
No.
Where if you're like heavily invested in stock, let's just be real, you could be making a lot of money and then last week sucked. Like everything you made over 3 months is just gone in the course of 2 or 3 days sometimes, because that does happen more commonly than what happened in real estate. What happened in 2008 was somewhat of an anomaly. We hadn't seen something like that in literally to that level since the Great Depression.
Right.
You know, we had a little bit of a real estate bubble in, you know, the West Coast back in the early 80s, which prompted the reason for the savings and loans crash, which is pretty famous. The recent housing crash was significantly larger than that little incident. But we're talking about something that are 30 years apart now.
Right.
And before that was like 40 years apart before there was something else that was really major when real estate really took a major hit. So real estate in the grander scheme of things will be there and a lot more secured. Not that I'm saying take your money out of stocks and put it on real estate, but
I am.
I don't agree with that. I think everybody knows all your eggs in one basket. It is dangerous. But if you're a fan of real estate, be a little bit more aggressive with real estate. But I mean, if that's what you like, you know. But at the end of the day, you're right. I mean, it's an investment that is far safer than buying some penny stock.
It's not volatile like the market, and when it drops, it definitely comes back, and Nick is right. That was a long time coming, and we learned from it. It's not going to crash like that again.
Well.
You're going on record by saying that.
Yeah.
It's not going to crash like that again. I'm going on record.
Ask Mo.
Well, no, if it crashes like that again, come looking for me.
There's something really wrong if it crashes like that again, because the way the financing is put together today, there's a lot of safety valves in place so it never happens again. I'm sure we'll find a way to do something worse though down the road, because that's what we do as humans, you know. So, but yeah, good stuff. So we got to wrap this bad boy up.
Do it. It's all you,
Ryan Tholey. This is all about you.
You had a show all
this
to yourself
is your
last
show
week.
Man, so you need to tell us one more time, how do we get a hold of you? You got some questions, concerns, or we want to partner up and be part of your crowdfunding project?
Yeah, I want to be part of
this. Tell us how to get a hold of Ryan Tholey.
Yeah, hop along for the ride. Love to have you.
So
you come to cbapropertymgmt.com. You can reach me there. Phone number is 847-401-7585. Reach me on that or text me.
Look at that. What a show. Flipping Properties. And we wouldn't be anything without our sponsors, so let's mention our sponsors real quick.
Do it.
Mike Randick and Carmen Carbonara of Stewart Title. I know I didn't say her last name right, but it was close. I never say her. Carbonara.
Carmen Carbonara.
Okay, you got all Latin on me. Of Stewart Title. Tamika Scott with Money Matters Financial Peace. Denise Edenhofer, who I've mentioned several times because I love her to death. Fidelity National Home Warranty. Joanna Diaz with Credit RX. Get your credit fixed, because that might be a helpful process or a helpful tool in this entire process. And of course, last but not least, I never say this name right. Lisa, do you want to help me with that one? Lisa Jusian?
Fusino.
Husino? That doesn't look like Husino.
Oh.
Okay, but hey, Lisa Husino of Allstate Insurance. Thank you so much for sponsoring our show. Thank you all for watching our show. You can obviously catch this show.
And are you going to thank our guests for coming in today? Oh, okay. Sorry.
Can you not cut my rhythm up? She just do mode. Mo, how could I possibly forget you? I already thanked Ryan Tholey and got him out of the way here. How am I going to forget Mo?
He won't.
Mo.
He stares at me in the picture every week.
Yeah, we need to fix me that. Look.
Bromance,
no, keep it the same.
Bromance Mo Dotka of...
Mo Dotka.
He called me Alex once.
I called him Alex once.
See, and he says I forget people's
names. Dotka Realty Group and Main Street, I'm sorry, Dotka Law Group and Main Street Realty Group. But he's not a sponsor. He's one of our hosts.
He's our host. But so, you guys are like a threat, though, for the industry. Anybody who wants to kind of mimic you, and that's why it's cool that you're over here opening your business plan to us. Because, I mean, you have an attorney on staff. You have a realtor on staff as part of the investment group. And you guys, that's how you're able to generate and yield 15% minimum on these investments. So if you guys are looking to partner up or invest your money because you have some liquid assets and don't want to go to, you know, what I do and go to, I don't do it, but you know what I mean. Do it yourself. This is a great partnership. And I highly endorse it.
If Bitcoin crashed for you, get that money out and
it's
give Ryan a call.
Sliding down.
Crashed for me.
That's going to be a wrap. You can catch us on Facebook /Market Overdrive. Also at Twitter @Market Overdrive. Instagram, Market Overdrive. And let me let you guess where you can get us on YouTube. Market Overdrive. Download the podcast, WGN Family, the We Good Now Network. We will see you next Thursday at 5:30. Take care.